Good evening. Good to see you all here tonight. It's just a special night. We're going to have a great service. It's always exciting when you have the high school students helping with most every part of it. So welcome to our Ash Wednesday service and the start of our Lenten season, as we call it. I have a couple announcements first regarding the marriage seminar, which is this Sunday from 4:30 to 8:30. If you haven't signed up or talked to myself or Jennifer and you want to come, you still can. We just need to know by tonight, okay, to get our order in with Roosters, wherever Mick went. Oh, there you are. Yeah. So we'll have a good time there. What? Friday's okay. Okay. All right, and I just want to say thanks to Mick Huber and Jennifer Herbolt for all the work they've been doing with the high schoolers on their special music tonight. It's a beautiful song. The words are amazing. And to all the parents, we are blessed with such a great high school Sunday school class, and they are also very faithful week after week. About makes me cry. I tell you what, they're a pretty amazing group of kids. The other thing I wanted to mention, just as a prayer note, last Sunday we prayed for Jennifer Masterson's mom, Phyllis Whale, and so they had done some tests and bone biopsy, and the results came today of acute myeloid leukemia. So be praying for Phyllis. There'll be time coming, of course, here where there's treatment, and the details of that we'll know as it gets closer. So be lifting Randy and Phyllis and the family up in prayer for sure during this time. So Weston Fryer is going to come.
Hold it close to your mouth. Please bow your heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we gather in this sanctuary tonight, we're reminded of the words of the psalmist David, who said, "I rejoice with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" We are happy to be here with you, O God Most High. Our lives are but a moment. You are forever, the Ancient of Days. We are but a vapor. You are the eternal God who reigns on high. We thank you for your great plan of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. As we are gathered together here this evening, we surrender ourselves unto you completely, spirit, soul, and body. We ask that you would fill us each with your Holy Spirit and help us to live for you each day. We love you and we praise you, Jesus. You are our wonderful Savior, our Redeemer, and it's all in your name we pray, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'm Bridget. Our first scripture reading for today is from Galatians 3, 13 through 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit.
Titus 2:11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good.
Thank you. Our opening hymn is 309, "I Will Sing of My Redeemer." So let me just say, especially pray for the parents of the high schoolers, you have 22 or 23 of them up here. I can't have speaking parts for all of them. Well, we could. We'd have a two-hour service probably. So the way I determined that was the ones that had parts a year ago on Ash Wednesday, because that's the only service we got to have. So I took the other half for tonight, and then the other half a month from now, we'll have them help again, and they'll have parts. So let's stand together. I will sing of my Redeemer, 309. I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. Blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my heart and paid the debt and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story how my lost estate to save. Love and mercy, He the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my heart and paid the debt and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, His triumphant power I'll tell. How the victory He giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and His heavenly love for me. His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my heart and paid the debt and made me free. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Paige Dyke.
Please join me in saying the answer to question 34 of our catechism. Why do we call Him our Lord? Because not with gold or silver, but with His precious blood, He has set me free from sin and from the tyranny of the devil, and has bought us body and soul to be His very own.
Please join me in saying the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you, Hayden. Okay, you can both go back down. That's okay. If the children want to come for the Kingdom Kids time, please. Lane and Morgan are going to do this tonight.
I have a very nice collection of stuffed toys. They come in all shapes and sizes. Animals are my favorite. Today, I brought some to show you. Oh my, I have seemed to have lost one of my stuffed toys. I know I had it when I got here this morning. Would you help me look for it? Can you guys go look? Thank you so much for helping me find the lost toy. Even though I have a very large collection, every one of them is very important to me. I would be very upset if one of them was lost.
That reminds me of a lesson that Jesus taught to a group of religious leaders one day. That religious leader were very upset that Jesus was often seen associating with sinners. He was even sometimes seen eating with them. The religious leaders didn't like that at all and were very critical of Jesus. Jesus told them a story to help them understand.
Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and you lost one of them, Jesus said. Wouldn't you leave the 99 who were safe and go search for the lost sheep? And when the lost sheep was found, wouldn't you joyfully put it on your shoulder and carry it back home? Wouldn't you be so happy that you would tell all of your friends about finding the lost sheep? I imagine that all of the religious leaders had to agree that they would do just as Jesus had suggested. Then Jesus said to them, in the same way, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent.
Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does not one leave the 99 in the open country to go look for the lost sheep? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Luke 15:3-7.
The Bible teaches us that we are like sheep and sometimes stray away from God. That makes God very sad, but he never gives up on us. He keeps searching for us and calling to us. He wants to draw us back into his arms. He even sent Jesus, his son, to save those who are lost. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give up on his lost sheep? I am, because I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Okay, now we're going to pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd. We are thankful that you came to save those who are lost. Amen.
Okay, I'll take that one. Okay, the high schoolers are going to come now and sing Reckless Love. If you listen to 96.5, you'd probably be familiar with it, but they'll put the words up here too so you can get the words as they're singing. Thank you. That was beautiful, wasn't it? Wow. Blake Ramos is going to read scripture for us here.
This scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 15, verse 1 through 7. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around near him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent.
Thanks, Blake. All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer once more, please. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this night. Thank you for your word to us through the words of that song. Your love for us is truly incredible. Forgive us, so often we take it for granted. But you never give up on us. You keep pursuing us, and we thank you for it. Lord, I just want to here at this time say thank you for these high school students. Wow. What a joy it is to see them standing up here. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for their parents, grandparents who see to it that they are here so faithfully. Thank you for your plan for their lives, Lord God. You have laid it out already. Help them to follow it. Help them to live for you, Lord Jesus. So as we look into this scripture, Lord, I ask that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Luke 15, as Blake read, there's actually three parables in this chapter. And each one of them, the theme of each one of them is the same. If you'd read through the chapter, you would see the theme is that gotta get over the song here. That was pretty amazing, wasn't it? Oh, my goodness. Each one of them, the theme is the same. It has to do with heaven rejoicing at the salvation of a lost sinner. So as we read through the 14th chapter, the 15th chapter, you know, in chapter 14 it starts out, we see that Jesus went to the home of one of the prominent Pharisees. Well, they were all thrilled about that, because they thought they were the ones that, if this guy was the Messiah, he should have been with them. By the time we come to the end of chapter 14, it talks about large crowds following him. We come to chapter 15, and things change here all of a sudden. So this theme, rejoicing over a lost sinner coming to the Lord, that's God's heart. I mean, that's what the word, the gospel is all about. And anyone who does not rejoice in that fact is totally out of touch with God and his will and his plan. And so verse 1, chapter 15, we see this happening. It says the tax collectors and sinners, they were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered. Amplifying says they complained, "This man, Jesus, welcomes sinners and eats with them." In other words, how could he be doing that? I don't believe it. They were upset. I think Austin Pillsbury, probably 2 years ago, was saying already, can we sing Reckless Love? With the high school, and it took us 2 years to get to this point, but thanks, Austin. I'd hear it on the radio, and sometimes I catch the words, sometimes not, but as we started working with this, I'm just like, these words are incredible. And that's why I chose this passage here, because that phrase, leaves the 99, is in the chorus of that song. And we see that, and as I was working on this the last week or so here, I also went back to January of 2004. As a matter of fact, I looked it up. It was January 18th of 2004 when Ann and I came here and I gave the trial sermon. And after that day, of course, there was the vote and then there was questions. And one of the questions to me was, as I recall it, and I know who asked it, he's here tonight, I don't know if he remembers it, but he said, what is your greatest joy in ministry? And I said, my greatest joy in ministry is seeing people come to know the Lord. And that's what this is all about here. Because God, as our Father and as our Savior in Christ Jesus, He is passionate about the lost. Incredibly passionate. And we see the extreme price that He has paid for our salvation. The blood of Christ, right? Couple verses here. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4. It says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's His desire. Does it happen that way? No. There are those who reject Him. 1 Corinthians 6 talks about the price. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So here we have the Pharisees wanting nothing to do with the sinners, tax collectors, get away from me. And Jesus wanting everything to do with them. So as we get into this, you'll have to fill in stuff on your own, what you want to jot down, but there's just four words. You ought to be able to keep up on that tonight, right? In the outline. The first word is lost. Lost. Verse 3 and 4, chapter 15. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99, there it is, in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? When he says that, suppose one of you, see, Jesus is trying to get them and us to put ourselves in that situation. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep, okay? Well, number one, the Pharisees, they especially thought at that time the shepherds, they were the lowest class in Israel. We talk about that at Christmas time periodically. They were dirty people. They weren't trustworthy. They were despised. So that was one thing a little bit tough for these Pharisees to try and get themselves, I would never be a shepherd, is what's going through their heads. But suppose one of you has 100 sheep, loses one of them. Again, we see His passion, we're going to see it, about the lost, and that should be the same of our heart's desire too. So the picture of this shepherd, there were really two kinds of shepherds in Israel at the time of Christ and before and after. You had the Bedouins, you know, those, they're just nomads. They travel here and there. They don't really have a home. They have a tent. They set it up and they're there for a while and then they move on to where they can find grass and water for the sheep and the goats. We saw that in Israel. When we were there, going up to Jerusalem, there was a camp of Bedouins there. When we went over into the country of Jordan, we saw several camps of Bedouins with their herds of sheep. And the interesting thing was several of their tents in Jordan had UNICEF on them. That's where that was their home, just this tent. And they were nomads. But this is more a picture, this parable, of a village. Because in verse 6, when that lost sheep is found, it says he goes home. tells his friends and neighbors. So they lived in those small villages. In that setting, it would typically be that, from commentaries say, that each family then in that village would maybe have about 15 sheep. All right? So, and they worked together communally. So they would pick one or two in that village to be the shepherds, and they'd put their sheep together. So if you had 15, let's say, to each family, seven families, well, you'd have 105 sheep, right? If my math is right, yeah? Okay. So one or two shepherds, they would take them out. Out in the day, back into the fold at night. That was the pattern then. We saw the very same thing in our years with the Navajos. Told you different stories. Think about that grandpa, Dale Beard, up in his 90s. Every day he'd take the herd of sheep and they herded from behind. Come down, he lived up on the little bit on the short mesa. Bring them down, come by the church, by our trailer, out down into this canyon. Be out there most of the day trying to find little bits of grass because, you know, it's desert. Little bit of water. And then later, depending on what season of the year and the heat of the day, what time he would bring them back. And there was the billy goat with his bell clanking away. Clonk, 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 clonk. You always knew they were coming because of the billy goat. One time, one of the sheep, I thought from his flock, stopped at our house because we had flowers that we were watered. We wanted some flowers in the desert. And here we look out the window, and here's this sheep eating the flowers. I figured it was one of Grandpa Beard's, who, to my knowledge, didn't speak any English. So I get in my truck, drive up there to his place, thinking, okay, how am I going to tell him in Navajo? And I don't remember how anymore I said eating my flowers, and goes, what? Hat-ila. He was very hard of hearing. So I get closer, go through the whole thing again in Navajo, and he looks at me and says in English, that's not my sheep. I didn't know you spoke English. And then he's like, then in Navajo, ah-da-na-ra-da-tse. In other words, that next house over, and it was. But anyway, so then what do you think, high schoolers, what do you think the number one rule for the shepherd would be with his sheep? Four words. What parable are we talking about? Think about what got lost. So don't lose the sheep. Okay, come on, you guys know. All right, that's okay. Don't lose the sheep. That's the rule. You know what? That's every one of us. We are all lost, aren't we? We're born that way. We know that. We learn that. The Word of God tells us that, as it is written, Romans 3:10, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. That is our lost condition. We are these lost sheep, just the same that this parable talks about. And so that word reckless love, the title of that song, back to that, what they sang, I thought long about that title, because that word reckless, I even looked it up in Webster's, because to me, reckless, as my growing up years, was always a negative word if it was said in my home by my parents. Don't be so reckless, right? Meaning, in that sense, what does it mean? Irresponsible, careless, negligent, that's all part of that word reckless. But there is a positive side to the meaning of that word, as the song presents. It's marked by a lack of caution and daring. Marked by a lack of caution. That's how God our Father in Christ came after us and does come after us. He doesn't care, as the words of that song go on. The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Listen. I love this. Oh, it chases me down. And he does. And he will. Fights till I'm found. leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, Lord, you give yourself away. Lost. Second word, sought. Sought, verse 3 and 4 again. The parable, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after, that's the word sought, and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Of course we know the answer is yes, but it is at all cost. And with the sheep in the natural, at all costs, that lost sheep is going to be found, dead or alive. They're going to find it. Wounded? Maybe. Lost sheep are in serious danger. Naturally, they are. With us, same with us. Easy prey for predators would be a lost sheep. Same with your calves. You that calve, you know, the coyotes, what they go after that weak one, don't they? And they just tear it apart if they can get to it. So that's what Satan tries to do with lost sheep, tries to isolate, get them off by themselves so he can do his work. We know John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said what? I have come that you might have it more abundantly. So back to this song, that bridge of that song, I call it the bridge, that there's no shadow you won't light up. So sometimes a lost sheep, meaning us, we think if we can get off in the shadows and nobody knows what we're doing, and even though we know God knows, we think he doesn't somehow, but he does, doesn't he? He can light that spot right up if he wants. For our own good. We might not think it's for our good, but it is. There's no mountain you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down. Sometimes as people, we can put walls up all around ourselves, shut everybody out because of hurts and wounds and pains. No, he can break that wall down. And maybe we have loved ones, people that we know that have that wall put up. Just keep praying. Let the Holy Spirit knock that wall down. He's working. There's no wall you won't kick down, no lie you won't tear down coming after me. He is passionate about you. We think of Jonah, right? He couldn't run far enough. We think of the prodigal son. Same deal there. All right, so first word was lost, second word sought, third word found. Very simple. Found. Verse 5. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Now, there'll be a little bit, Joni, that I'll ask for that picture coming up here. Okay? When he finds it. See, this shepherd, he is not lazy. He's not indifferent. Oh, well, I guess lost one of the sheep. We still have 99 left, right? No, doesn't work that way. We lost a sheep. Okay, let's say there were two out there. You stay with these out in the open field. I'm going to look. Whatever it takes, I am finding that sheep. That's how valuable we are. Now, this might be a terrible comparison. It is, but I'm thinking about this because I'm a terrible golfer. Sometimes I get to go in the summer. And to me, like if I lose a golf ball, which is often, I'll look a little bit for it. I'm like, just forget it. It's just a golf ball. I'm not wasting 15 minutes looking for a golf ball. But yet, if Ann and I, if we're like with Mark and his wife, Mark's got a different mindset on that golf ball. He's going to look and look and look until he finds that golf ball. I'm like, just let it go. No, I'm looking. Okay, he's a better golfer than me. Anyway, by far. No, but this is not so. No, this shepherd, they are going to find this lost sheep. He seeks it until he finds it. And how is it? Again, could be injured, very likely. Maybe dehydrated. Israel, desert. Just like where we were with the Navajos, desert. maybe hungry, scared. Yeah, you know that sheep is going to be scared. And what does he do? It says he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. Let's see, I asked Joni to find a picture. Maybe some of you have a picture like this in your house. Maybe some of you have a figurine. I know my mom and dad always used to, like a sculpture thing that somebody gave them. So that sheep, typically what they say of in Israel, because there wasn't a lot to feed on, okay? Maybe 70, 75 pounds. That's still a lot. You know, the people at that time, they were smaller framed people, although they were strong because the work was very physical. Put that sheep over the shoulders. See, he's got his hand around the two legs. The one commentary I read said often they would take him, sort of tie a rope around both of them together. And there he brought it home. The thing about it is the hardest part of this journey is this part, carrying it home, because now he's got an extra 75 pounds of weight on his shoulder, and by now very likely it is dark, very likely the rest of the 99 are back in the village, in the sheep camp, safe and sound, and he's coming through the dark, rocks, canyons, difficult terrain, and territory. And you know what? The shepherd is bearing the full weight of that sheep. Now, if that is not an amazing picture of the cross, I don't know what is. Because that is what Jesus did on the cross. He bore the full weight of our sin upon himself, didn't he? When he hung there in our place and carried us. 1 Peter 2:24, listen to what this says. He himself, Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. He carried us, our sin, upon himself. Last word, celebrated. Celebrated, verse 6 and 7, it says, then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. So he's back in the village, right? I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Rejoice, rejoice. He's back. The village, they're waiting. They know that a sheep is lost. You know, some of you, I talked to one family this spring that when it was time, I don't know, for weaning or bringing the cattle in, I'm sorry. They'll remember which part of it. They brought the cattle in probably to wean them in shots and whatever, and one was missing. You know the feeling of that. Right? You go and look, call the neighbors. What happened? I never got the end of that story, if it got found or not. So, the family, the village knew that one was lost. They're waiting into the night. What's its condition going to be? Because the village shared the ownership of all of those sheep. And when the shepherd brought it back, rejoicing, great rejoicing. He says, in the same way, you want to hear rejoicing in heaven? Whenever someone comes to know Christ as Lord and Savior, rejoicing. I sort of think sometimes, of course, now we don't get to go in the hospitals to visit. But it used to be, at least down at Yankton, you know, you'd be there and if there was that certain chime of a bell, oh, a baby was born. A baby was born, you'd be like, oh. So you think of that in heaven, when a baby is born, I'm talking spiritually born again from above, there's rejoicing in heaven. And how could it be yet that Christ and God the Father, so concerned about the lost, and yet these Pharisees, the religious leaders of Israel, who were supposed to be God's representatives to the people in Israel, could not care less about the lost sheep. Well, he's eaten with sinners and tax collectors. And they were condemning him for it. It's what verse 1 and 2 said. And so he's given this whole parable, laying it out, drawing them in. Suppose one of you telling the story. And at the end, as he ends in that verse 6 and 7, they're getting it. He's talking about them at that point. You guys are condemning me for eating with lost people, trying to reach them? That's the heart of God. The heart of God, because he is the good shepherd. So as we enter this Lenten season here, we preach Jesus, right? Last four Sundays at least. Let's keep our focus on him. So we have our focus on him. We have his heart. We have his heart for the lost, as we are to be a life-saving station. I've said that many times. People of shipwreck need help. Even us, sometimes our lives end up in shipwreck. He's the good shepherd, John chapter 10 says. Amen. All right, some of the rest of you kids come up, please. Should be Cody and Hunter and Chris, Alex and Kaylee. Why don't you all come up, okay? Cody, you'll be first, right, with a prayer. Hold it close to your mouth, okay, please?
Please bow your heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you for your love, that it is so amazing towards us. Before we ever spoke a word, you were singing over us. Before we took a breath, you breathed your life into us. Thank you for your goodness, kindness, and patience with each one of us. We do not deserve it, and we surely cannot earn it, but still, you gave yourself away for us on the cross. We are truly overwhelmed by the many ways that you pursue us. Your love is never ending. Heavenly Father, as we respond to your love, help us to live for you every day. Give us strength and fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we also may be concerned for those who don't know you. Show us how to reach out to others and share with them the message of the gospel. Thank you, Jesus, for bearing our sins in your body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Just leave it on, yeah, Hunter. Hunter Masterson.
Ezekiel 34:11-16. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they are scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and all the settlements in the land. I will tend to them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in a good grazing land, and there they will be fed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice.
Thanks, Hunter. Okay, and Chris Kessler.
I will read from Isaiah 53:6. All of us are like sheep, have gone astray. We will turn each one to its own way, but the Lord has caused the wickedness of all our sins and our wrongdoings to follow him instead of us.
Wait, Alex. Wait. You guys just stay up here. We'll stand and sing the doxology. You come over here. Praise. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we are standing here in your presence, we bring these offerings before your throne as an act of worship. We ponder the words of the song, Reckless Love. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for not giving up on us. It is our joy to bring our best gifts unto you. Lord Jesus, please bless and multiply these offerings for the work of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. And now, the Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. We have one more hymn here. I guess we'll stand, sorry. 688, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast taught us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast taught us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend. The guardian of our way, keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, oh, hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our beings fill. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still.
receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. And high schoolers, thank you so much. We're hoping we'll sing that song again on a Sunday morning when we can make it work. All right. We have our two ushers, right? Okay. You guys can go ahead.